Let's go back to basics. Beagle 2,
exactly.
it just has not...
No, I may surprise you here, but I don't think Beagle 2 is fallen prey to this problem. I think Beagle 2, if in fact it is lost, and we don't know that yet. In fact, about half an hour ago when you were just coming on the air,
yes,
there was an overflight by Mars Odyssey, the U.S. spacecraft, over the landing site of Beagle 2 there in Acetus Planitia.
And
by 3:30 this morning Eastern Time, which is 1:30 our time, they are supposed to tell us if Odyssey heard Beagle 2's call sign.
Okay, so we don't know yet.
But we know they've had three previous attempts.
All silent.
All silent, including with this huge radio telescope at Jodrell Bank in England.
So the Beagle's not barking.
The Beagle is not barking.
Okay.
So why do I not think that it's fallen prey to sabotage? For one thing, look what it was trying to do. It was trying to land and for the first time find evidence of microbes on Mars.
Right.
Not big stuff, not artifacts, not cities, not, you know, the really cool stuff that you and I think is there.
I think, wasn't it Arthur C. who said large life?
Well, he was talking biology. He's thinking that we're bushes. Remember trees and stuff?
Oh, yes.
At the South Pole, where
yes.
we now know there's a heck of a lot of water.
Well, that's large life.
Now, the odds of dropping, you know, a little tiny thing the size of a barbecue pit down on a planet with a surface area equivalent to all of Earth. Mars has the same surface area as all the continents of Earth. And the little place it was going to land, which is this plain east of Syrtis Major, was almost picked at random because of the vagaries of celestial mechanics. Remember, Beagle 2 was a hitchhiker on Mars Express. So it had to kind of wind up on Mars where Mars Express was going,
yes,
not where it really wanted to go itself. So what Colin Pillinger, who was the scientist in charge, said a few days ago, he said, my bet is if we land anywhere on Mars, we have a better than 50-50 chance of finding life. Now, he didn't mean big guys. He didn't mean, you know, Martian elephants or, you know, the ruined, abandoned cities that we're talking about.
Even microbial life would be, well, that'd be fine. It'd be big news, wouldn't it?
It would be huge news,
yeah.
And it would move the whole story further up the curve.
Yes, sir.
Remember, this is what the two MIR missions, the two NASA rovers, first of which is going to land again on your watch on the night of January 3rd, and the second one on January 24th, are designed to do. To find evidence of fossil life or the conditions for fossil life on Mars. Now, what Pillinger's Beagle 2 could have done, if it survived, with its little robot arm, which they elegantly called a paw, for positional adjustable workbench. Somebody had to work really hard for that acronym. Anyway, it was going to extend its paw, on which there were two stereo cameras, And a drill and some instrumentation designed to measure composition and
yeah.
really neat gadgets in an incredibly tiny space on this little arm that the Beagle clamshell would extend once it landed and survived on the surface. But it couldn't look any farther around itself physically with something called a mole, by the way, that would burrow into the soil.
Well, actually, though,
maybe a couple of feet.
It might not matter. I mean, if there's microbial life on Mars, then probably it's common. If it's common, then you're going to find some bit of it just about anywhere.
Well, that's the theory, and that's a very good idea. In other words, once you find life there, presuming it's not contamination, you haven't brought it with you, you know, then everything is wide open because
But by your own words, there you have it, Richard. If there's microbial life confirmed on Mars, then Pandora's box begins. The lid starts to come open.
Okay,
yeah.
So why am I voting against conspiracy and sabotage for Beagle 2?
I don't know because it's so unlike you.
Well, let me tell you why.
Why?
I mean, most of what I try to do and talk about art has a reason.
Okay.
I'm trying to be logical here.
Okay.
And consistent.
All right.
The U.S. missions that are going to land.
Yes.
$800 million.
Oh.
Close to a billion.
A lot of money.
A gigabuck. The Mars Express orbiter mission, which successfully went into orbit on Christmas morning, $345 million.
Mm.
Close to half a gig. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Beagle 2, $35 million. Pocket change.
Well.
And the problem is that landing is the hardest thing. You got to get down to the atmosphere. Things have to happen in sequence. If you land wrong, if the airbag hits a rock, a sharp-edged razor blade-type rock, bang, there goes your spacecraft splat all over the surface.
Sure.
So for a little amount of money, they were trying to pull off a miracle. And I got to hand it to Colin Pillinger. He put together an incredible team. There's an incredible team spirit. I feel so for these people tonight because they're sitting there desperately hoping against hope that it's merely a communications problem or a computer problem, and it isn't that the spacecraft no longer exists. But the odds are, given how many spacecraft have failed with mucho bucks, that this trying to do it on a shoestring, something went wrong somewhere in that sequence of events in the 7 minutes from entering the atmosphere to landing, and through no one's fault, it simply didn't work.